The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 16th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames.' But Abraham said, 'Child, remember that during your lifetime you received good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us.' He said, 'Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment.' Abraham replied, 'They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them.' He said, 'No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent.' He said to him, 'If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead.'" The Gospel of the Lord. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day, and at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. What a surprise it must have been. I'm sure he had a morning routine. Wake up, get cleaned, maybe with water and a towel, or perhaps even bathe, or use some oils or perfumes, not only to improve his scent, but if he put a dab under his nose, the whole world would smell better for a few hours. And then he would need to get dressed. Walking out in the city in a dressing gown or a nightshirt of sorts would not have been socially acceptable. And even his fine linen undershirt was better made than the simple clothing of most anyone who would see him walking about. He probably had a wardrobe with several options. "Which shade of purple shall I wear today?" he would wonder to himself. Maybe some robes were cut a little longer than others. Not a good choice if it had rained. Heaven forbid one should drag through some mud left in the street. Perhaps he had some options of a different sash or a belt. And who knows if he had some kind of a hat or a head covering. And then, clad head to toe in a color which, by the law of the Roman occupiers, was only allowed to be worn by those of certain social rank and nobility, he would sit for a breakfast most likely prepared by his servants. Fruit and bread, perhaps with some pieces of lamb or chicken, maybe even butter or cheese from sheep's milk. More than one person could or should eat in a single sitting, but he could afford it. Not that he would touch the dogs, who knows where their mouths had been, but he would toss them the leftovers from the morning before he grabbed his coin purse or his money belt and headed out his gate in the morning to set about his business in the city. And heading away from his gated house, something which still sends a certain message in our society, it must have been a surprise to him not to have seen Lazarus at his usual post, begging for alms and smelling of death, though the perfume usually helped him not to notice. We know this rich man was an Israelite, a son of Abraham, and in the social convention of the day, with a life that was in many ways defined by the appearance of propriety and adherence to the temple law, it would have been socially unacceptable not to have given alms to the poor. Maybe a sliver of food or the smallest of coins, less than could even buy a piece of fruit. But still, it would have been something. The Pharisees liked to make a big show of their almsgiving, and this man would not want to be an object of social ridicule. So surely it must have been a shock to his morning routine when the poor man he saw every morning, sure as the rising sun, was no longer in front of his house. And if he did not spend long wondering what had happened to Lazarus, he was soon to find out. We do not know how the rich man died, only that all of his comforts could not prevent it. But he would very soon become aware of the fiery setting of his new eternal home. Surely, this would have been the greatest of surprises to him. No matter how diligently he had thought he was following the temple law, God had judged him, and he was found wanting. And now he knew the answer to the question. There sits Lazarus up above, comfortable and secure with Father Abraham. And he cries out to Abraham, not for salvation, but only for a momentary reprieve from his torment. But nothing will come, for a chasm has been fixed in place, and no one can cross it. And this man, whose good deeds in life had ever only been motivated by his own sense of keeping up appearances, makes the closest thing to a self-giving request he has ever done. Warn my brothers. Like all of those who had drawn near Jesus that day, large crowds, tax collectors and sinners, and even some murmuring Pharisees, here we are, overhearing the word our Lord is passing along to the disciples. And our Lord is delivering a dire warning, because when the rich man, a child of Father Abraham, is calling out for his brothers to be warned, this is a prayer for the whole nation of Israel, the people of God whose family tree we have been grafted onto. It is not a new warning in the life of Israel. We heard it in our reading from Amos this morning. It is a warning that we have, just as they did, become too confident with all the comforts of life. It is a warning of how we, without really knowing it, can begin to believe that when we are well off in terms of earthly means, then this must surely be a sign of God's providence, not only in this life, but in the next one as well. The Lord could not be clearer in his rebuke of the still popular teaching, which believes that prosperity in this life is a promise of eternal comfort in his heavenly home, let alone the idea that comfort of earthly means is something brought about through faith in him. This parable and the warning that we hear are shaped by Jesus' prayer for us. The prayer is not one which seeks to see people of faith lose the whole variety of wealth or comforts that they may have received in this life. It is a prayer echoed by Paul in his letter to Timothy, so concerned for the ruin which can come to the lives of those who are driven by the act of seeking earthly comforts. It is a prayer concerning the great chasm which the rich man discovered between himself and Lazarus. Jesus is both warning us about that chasm and praying for us so that we will not find ourselves far apart from him. It is a chasm that appears when we begin to trust in what we have, and as a result, we no longer find ourselves trusting in the Lord. It is a prayer that whatever we have, whether we are people of more than sufficient means, or we count ourselves among those who have found ourselves counting pennies to keep the lights on, this is a prayer that we may not become separated from him for all eternity. This was the pattern that the Lord had seen over and over again. But now things were about to change. This is why he was praying and teaching, why he had come down to us and taken on our earthly form. All of the patterns which had led to the rich man being so surprised to look up and see Lazarus were flawed. They could not deliver the promise of eternal life with the true Father in heaven. Jesus knows that there are things in each of our lives which can prevent us from trusting in him, and he is putting a stop to that. He is making sure that when we see a man raised up from the dead after 3 days, we will trust and believe in nothing else. This is a prayer that when we bring our children to the font, we will know that the only thing which will give them life is the water and the Spirit being poured out into them. It is a prayer that when we come to the table, we may say, "Lord, I have nothing." And he will give us everything that truly matters when we receive his risen body. It is a prayer that we will know that in him there is finally the one who can cross the chasm between eternal death and eternal life. And it is a prayer that nothing in this life will stop us from trusting in the incredible promise he has made to us, because that is what he wants for his children. For it is only in Jesus Christ that we may bear the name of Lazarus, the one whose help is the Lord, and cling to his gracious promise of eternal life, no matter what other good may come our way. Amen.